The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven because she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Afterward, he journeyed from one town to a village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chusa, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. I considered this Sunday as an act of contrition Sunday. Why? Because the woman in the Gospel approached Jesus with contrite heart, asking for Jesus' mercy and forgiveness. Speaking of act of contrition, how many of you know by heart the formula of an act of contrition? How many of you can memorize the act of contrition? Nobody? So, what you will do is Google it. Act of contrition. Okay? You can have several formula about that. Act of contrition, right? Okay, so here is the formula, the popular one. Okay, I will read to you. Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended thee. Seems familiar? And I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. But most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to confess my sins, to do penance, and amend my life. Amen. Sounds familiar? Yes. This sounds familiar to you because you go to confession, right? Okay. So, remember, because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. Okay. Now, in an act of contrition, there are two things to remember. What are those things to remember? The perfect and imperfect contrition. Our contrition is perfect when we are sorry for our sins because sin offends God, whom we love above all things for His own sake. So, perfect contrition. Our contrition is imperfect because we are sorry for our sins because they are hateful in themselves or because we fear God's punishment. Clear? Or not clear? Okay, it's clear to you. Okay. Example. Think of a child who does something wrong. If he is sorry because he is afraid his parents will punish him, he has what we call imperfect contrition. If he is sorry because he disappointed his parents, he has what we call perfect contrition. Clear? Or not clear? Okay. So, when we repent, are we sorry because we love God or because we fear something bad is going to happen to us? My dear friends, along with what we call the Act of Contrition Sunday, I add something, a theme in the gospel today, and it is about mercy and forgiveness. To emphasize this theme, I will start with the story which I got from one priest. And it runs like this. According to a Jewish legend, when God was about to create man, He consulted the angels that stood about His throne. They are the angels of justice, truth, holiness, and mercy. Create him not, said the angel of justice, for he will commit all kinds of wickedness against his fellow men. He will be hard and cruel and dishonest and unrighteous. The angel of truth said, create him not, for he will be false and deceitful to his brothers and sisters and even to you. Create him not, said the angel of holiness. He will follow that which is impure in your sight and dishonor you to your face. Then the angel of mercy stepped forward and said, Heavenly Father, create him. For when he sins and turns from the path of right and truth and holiness, I will take him tenderly by the hand and speak loving and forgiving words to him and then lead him back to you. God followed the counsel of the angel of mercy, so he created man. My dear friends, this Sunday's gospel theme is about God's mercy and forgiveness. In the gospel, a Pharisee named Simon invites Jesus for a dinner in his house. Why did the Pharisee invite Jesus? We do not know. Maybe one of the reasons for the invitation is the feeling of having a celebrity in his house. And also, maybe to point an accusing finger on somebody as the guilty one due to sin. But it turns out to be that Simon is the one guilty. It is because Simon thinks of himself as the righteous one and is worthy to be with Jesus, and the sinful woman is unworthy to be seen with Jesus. This reminds me of this kind of pointing fingers on somebody else. Okay? We have to remind that if we point one finger to the others, there are three fingers pointing on us. Okay? We have to remember that. So in the end, Jesus sees the woman as one who is righteous and more deserving to be with Jesus than the self-righteous Pharisee. It is because the woman with dramatic and sincere sorrow manifested her contrition by washing Jesus' feet with her hair, with her tears, and wiping them with her hair. The woman was forgiven because of her faith and love. Looking at Jesus as the one who forgives, what is that for us? What is the message that Jesus wants for us? How often do you forgive and forget? A study was made and found out that forgiving others was linked with better mental and physical health, the benefits of giving forgiveness. The question is, what gender easily forgives others? According to one psychologist, and a researcher found that women were more forgiving than men. Is that true? That women usually forgives than men? Okay. According to that data, 54% of women scoring high in forgiveness of others compared to 49% of men. Nowadays, people seem very hard to practice forgiveness in daily life. That is the reason why we hear news of broken relationship, broken friendship, and broken families. We hear news of fighting and killing each other. So everyone is blaming other parties and neglecting the virtue of forgiveness. Thus, it is important for us to re-inculcate the value of forgiveness in our lives. There are three kinds of forgiveness and all interrelated. Number one, forgiveness of God. That assures us of our worth and strengthens us. Number two, forgiveness of others. The forgiveness that we extend to others and receive from them, intimates and enemies. And number three, self-forgiveness. That which enable us to release our own guilt and lack of perfection. So what are some good things about forgiveness? Forgiveness is not a sense of false humility that makes us better than somebody else. It is an attitude that sets us free so that we are not continually victimized by our own wounds. So forgiveness is the virtue of the strong, not the weak. I repeat, forgiveness is the virtue of the strong, not the weak. Okay? So if I will deliver a long homily, please forgive me right now. So my dear friends, is there a penalty for not granting forgiveness? The penalty we experience is the hurt that remains trapped within us, which rots a portion of our body, mind, and soul daily. In order to heal ourselves of the wounds inflicted upon us, we must be willing to forgive those who hurt us totally and unconditionally. It does not mean that we must go and tell them that they are forgiven. Forgiveness makes the world beautiful. It does not only makes us whole once again, it energizes and makes our world more beautiful than ever. I like this quotation. Forgiveness is not about letting him or her off the hook. It is about taking the knife out of your soul. Forgiving is good for the body as well for the soul. Reliving past hurts over and over again is bad for our health. Simply remembering an incident that made a person angry has proved to be stressful for the heart. Negative feelings that causes stress has also been linked to high blood pressure, coronary artery diseases, and increased susceptibility to other illnesses. Forgiving is not selfish. If we desire to be forgiven by others for our offenses, we must learn to forgive others. If we seek forgiveness from God, we should learn to forgive others. If we desire that God overlook our weaknesses, we should learn to overlook weaknesses of others. Let us listen to the Lord's word in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15. If you forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you do not forgive men their sins, neither will your Father forgive your sins. So assignment for you. Sit in front of your computer. Google the act of contrition.